ancient, beautiful, and mystical India. An unlimited, unending source of fascination for people from all over the globe. India is also the birthplace of many holy masters who have shared with the world the paths to spiritual illumination. Geographically, India is very vast, covering an area of 3.3 million square kilometers, making it the seventh largest country on Earth. India is graced with the majestic Himalayas, the highest mountain range in the world. Often called King of the Mountains, it is revered as the home of the gods. The name is derived from Sanskrit, meaning the abode of snow. To the spiritual aspirants of millennia, the grandeur and elevation of the mountains are a constant reminder of the parallel glory and majesty of the human soul, and thus are considered to be of ultimate sacredness. In the early 1980s, profoundly moved by the ever-suffering in our world which she had witnessed since the time of her childhood, Supreme Master Ching Hai made a selfless and momentous decision to forsake the comfort of her personal life. Supreme Master Ching Hai's earnest quest for truth and enlightenment for the benefit of all beings culminated in her courageous journey in various parts of India and eventually the divine Himalayas. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas, given on July 7, 1997, during a gathering with our association members in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
All right, then the Dalai Lama had to do like that for 10 days, purify himself and the monks together before he gave initiation for these people. So they were very, very kind of solemn kind of occasion. It's not like just walk through initiation. But you're supposed to, when you dream, you know, when you go to sleep at night, they tell you how to dream. You know, you must dream of something. And if you dream of monks or king, then it's supposed to be auspicious. Then you become Buddha very soon. I don't know how soon, but it's supposed to be very soon. You just have to believe it. And if you happen to dream about devil or woman and all that, then it's no good. Yeah. So I was trying very hard to dream of the monks, but I haven't seen any that come to my dream. I meditated hard and then I slept, but nothing came. Except the silver and gold mountain and the glittering sky with light, I don't see nothing more. But I saw that before everything, before initiation. I was busy, you know, with the pokey nose baby and with his napkins and his wet, slimy lips, you know, kissing me and all that, and tried to talk to me all the time. I can't hear nothing except his baby blah blah. So I don't consider I was entitled to be a Buddha very soon, even if I saw some monks in my dream. And that was it. So a lot of people went there for initiation. He has many Western disciples who come all over the place to see him, especially in such occasion. And before you get there, you had to walk sometime many tens of miles because there's no car. You have to walk through river, climb many mountains, and sometimes you happen to be lucky and you have some truck meanwhile. So you have to combine, you know, like, okay, you go by bus, and then you go by train, and then you go by hitchhiking, and then you go by horse car, and then other time you go by buffalo cars, and then all the time you climb the mountains, and then all the time you walk through tunnels, duck through the mountain, all the time you swim through the river, and then all the time you happen to find some truck, you know. Truck that go around in the mountain, they want to carry rocks, and then if there's empty space behind, they let you come up. 1 rupee each person. 1 rupee is maybe about half of a cent in American money. Yeah, over there it's different, huh? Yeah, very cheap. Okay, but the trucks are very dangerous place to be on. Because there's no roof, nothing, and the truck is high, and the mountain road is very tricky. There are a lot of rocks that is hanging from the mountain on top of your head. So you have to watch out. Because if you stand up or you sit on the truck and your head a little bit above the roof, then the rock will hit you. So you always sit, hit, and bow, stand, you know, or, so your head always have a chance to exercise. Either turn left, turn right, turn to the front, or turn backward. It's up to you, up to the situation. But you have to be fast, or the mountain rock will send your head somewhere else. So very dangerous, but better than nothing. And then that, not to mention the way the truck drive, you know, because the mountain road is very windy like this. And then sometimes it's very stiff, you know, and the road is not paved. You stay on that just like you are riding on a horse, you know. It gallop, 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 gallop like this. And sometimes you have to stop because landslide. The rock and the sand will run all over your head, and then you have to stand up for your right and shake all the sand and, you know, get all the stone from your ears and then run. And then wait until the landslide over or it never over. And then you have to run back again, find another road, and then run through another mountain, it's longer distance, and then walk again. Sometimes people die, the whole bus or the whole truck, because landslide come with a warning. The whole mountain seems just like sliding down upon you and then send you ship rocketing to the pit under there, which sometimes many, many miles deep. You don't see the bottom. So you never see the bus again. So very dangerous, yeah? Yeah? But it was exciting. I was young, so nothing really scares me. Now if you pay me $2 million, ask me go back, do the same journey again. I say, no, keep yours. Really, it was very, very challenging, you know? And then sometimes you walk through because you can't bring too many things with you. And you have your luggage, like a sleeping bag and some clothes. Then you have to put it on your head with the plastic bag. You have to protect your clothes. Because if you wear this one that you wear and you don't have another one to change immediately after you came out of the icy river, then you can become one with the river again. You know? You cold, you stiff, and then they throw you in the river, and then you become one. So that's the problem. See, you have to protect your clothes. You put it on your head, or even when you swim, you have to put it on your neck, you know, with the plastic bag on your back so you don't get it wet. At least you must have one pair of dry clothes to change immediately after you swim in the river, or walk through the river even, you see. So it's not that easy, the way I try to find the truth is hard way. But it was okay with me. What else would I do at that time? I had nothing else to do except to find the truth that I want to seek. See? So anyhow, finally we arrive, huh? And it was such a beautiful and romantic place, I told you. And then we stay there for maybe 2 weeks, huh? Until the initiation over. And still can stay on for a while. And I told you already, the Dalai Lama was always very kind to me, huh? Especially, every time I see me, he spotted me in the crowd. I said, "Ha! Hello, come here." And then he always gave me some of the precious medicine that he made himself. This medicine is specially Tibetan. I probably told you already. It's made of 72 different kind of precious stones and rare medical substance. It may be 100 over 100 substance together in one little tiny pill like this. And it's, you know, it comprised of a lot of precious stones, even like lapis lazuli and all that kind of thing in powder. And all kind of very rare Tibetan mountain medicine plant herbs that combine together. And it's supposed to combat all kind of disease, make you live long life, and all kind of negative power will be defeated. A small pill like this, but very expensive. Enough for free. But the Dalai Lama give me a handful all the time. I saw that I was the only one that he ever gave personally medicine like this. Every time he saw me, he gave me medicine. Yeah, I had some kind of scratch sometime because of climbing the mountain. And I have sometime insect bite, mosquito sometime, you know. And I didn't put any cream on my face, no makeup or nothing. And sometime I climb the mountain and I don't take care, you know, so sunburn and all that, the peeling and scratch from the trees and kind of thorny bushes from my arms and faces and all that. So he probably think I desperately need some care. He was just a very kind person. But he was a very good human being, very gentle, very kind. That's why a lot of people like him, even though they are not his disciple, he's not Tibetan Buddhist. That's why many people became Buddhist also, huh? And recite mantras and circumambulate with this, they have a kind of Dharma wheel, they call it. Every Tibetan have one. They always go around running either with the beads, prayer beads, or with the prayer wheel, you know. They turn around 24 hours. They say they're turning it because it's just like the rhythm of the universe, like the earth also turning, you know. So turning the wheel of the Dharma. There's a symbolic of the wheel of the Dharma, a teaching. Yeah? So everybody go around with that all the time. And some Western people, when they converted into Buddhism, they also buy one. And everybody have a bowl like this, so you can drink tea. Everywhere you go as a monk, you must have a wooden bowl like that. Because everywhere you go, people will offer tea and eat, and you put it in the bowl. I don't eat those food because it's always non-vegetarian. Except when you became a monk, day you shave your head with your master, that's the day all the master and disciple eat vegetarian. They also know vegetarian, but they don't eat that all the time. Just at that day. Yeah. Some of the Tibetan monks are vegetarian by occupation. For example, the oracle monk, he must, as a rule, be a vegetarian at all time. The oracle monk is a monk who has to predict the future and some kind of event by psychic power for the, you know, for the interest of the public. Yeah? Sometimes the Dalai Lama consulted them for some event. Sometimes they have to predict the future of the nation or what the outcome of a very strange event. You know, like predict the future and all that, huh? Like horoscope reading. But on a larger scale. And some other monks, they have like the weather forecast monk, like because he have to make the weather nice whenever the Dalai Lama or some high lama have to give lecture. Because they don't have a big place, so they give lecture in the open air. And a lot of people come like that. Then they have to make sure that during this 1 week or 2 weeks, the weather is tip-top condition every day. No raining allowed. So these are different kind of monks, you know. These weather monks, he has to sit in meditation all day, all night, and control the weather. Send all the rain, the hurricane, the typhoon back to somewhere else. Yeah, it's true. I had also the honor to study with some of them. And I told it to some of my disciples. And that's how it came, the story of making rain in San Jose last time. Yeah. Remember the story? Okay. I made joke with the man who tried to sell me the place in San Jose. And he believed in me. And that's why it rains. Maybe his belief was so strong. And after I come back to San Jose again later, and he showed me the lake that he asked me to make rain there before, he said, this is the lake where the San Jose people, some of them drink, you know, and it's all empty. Can you make rain? I said, no, I'm not sure if I can, but I can find the rain god, you know, and send him back to work for you. Maybe it works. And I just said, maybe, huh? And then it really worked, you know. Immediately afterward, the rain fell, and then the half of the lake full. So when I came back to San Jose again, he showed me the place that I should buy. every paper ready to sign, and he told me, only half, please fill another half too. I said, well, I don't know about that, let's see. But immediately it rained again later, and the whole leg full again. Remember last time? It was the first time I came to San Jose, and it was maybe first or second time, and it has been dry for 6 years, remember? And many cows dies, many animals dies, many farmers dies, many orchards die because no water. Orange and all that became very expensive at that time. Yeah? A lot of farmers bankrupt, and many cows die. So that was the famous thing that my disciple made trouble for me. Yeah? Because one of our sister told the agency that want to sell the land for me that, oh, my master, she can do anything. So the only thing that person want for me at that time was rain. Because you don't have water there. But it happened that the mountain I bought is next to the lake also. And the lake normally have to be full for the resident around there to use, but it was all empty until the last drop already. You can see the whole lake dry. So he said, please feel it. I said, how, what? And he said, your disciple tell me you can do anything, anything. So this is nothing to you, right? Okay. Anyhow, I just study a lot of things, but I don't use them anymore because there's no need. You can make rain, that's for sure. That's no problem. You can stop the wind, yeah, if you know how. If you can dig deep into the secret formula of the universe, and it's kind of science, it's like science, you know? It's just like before, we don't have wireless telephone, we don't have cordless mobile phone, now we do. If suppose 200 years ago, if you talk to some people long distance in a box like that, and the other one receive you a voice just like next door in another box like this, you know, black and small in your hand, people would think you're a magician, right? But now it's ordinary. So some science about the universe have been lost to our knowledge, and we think it's superstition or impossible. Nothing is impossible. Even flying through the air. Or live a few hundred years, or 1,000 years. Nothing is impossible. But what for do you want to? Did I tell you the story about the long-lived lake water? No? Not even that? No. Didn't I all tell you, huh? Okay. Supposedly there was one lake in India, very deep, high in the Himalaya, with the elixir water. That has the ability to grant you long, long, long life. Okay? So, Alexander the Great, the one who conquered nearly the whole earth before, remember? Also want to have that kind of elixir water so he can live long. Because there are a few more countries he didn't conquer yet. And he was getting old. So he went to the lake. It's very difficult to find that lake, you know, because not many people know. But then because of his power, you know, he has a lot of spies who has been able to find it for him. So finally, he was there in front of the lake and he was about to drink it. And then suddenly there come a very husky voice and said, Your Majesty, don't drink it. No, actually he didn't say like this. He said like this.
Your Majesty, don't drink it.
He threw himself at the feet of the emperor.
I said, please, Your Majesty, don't drink the water. It's dangerous. And the emperor, you know, Alexander the Great said, why? How can it be dangerous to me? Because the elixir will give me long life, and I will conquer the whole world, and I will conquer the moon, the sun, and the whole universe if I live long. What's the problem with you? Why you obstruct me drinking this water? And the old man say,
"Look at me. I drowned the water many hundred years ago. What will become of me now? You can see for yourself." I cannot die, and I can't live like this. The reason why I live on because I just want to keep this water. I want to stop anybody who come here and drink it.
So, Alexander the Great
got the message.
I was supposed to be a legion, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, I wasn't there. Obviously, Alexander the Great, emperor, did not drink it because he died, right?
Pleasant viewers, our thankfulness for your presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us again on Saturday for part 6 of our program entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, our co-inhabitants, up next right after noteworthy news. May your life shine with inner peace and beauty.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.